Well, it's Tuesday, and every Tuesday we get a visit from Bridget Carey from CNET. Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Hey, doing good.
Thanks. Excellent. This is great news. Bridget, please, if you would, explain to everybody. This is a word that many of us have not heard before, but we're going to hear. Waymo. What is Waymo?
Well, I have Waymo to tell you about it.
Sorry, that was so bad. Wendy, that killed in rehearsal.
Okay, so, yes, Google has been working on self-driving cars for 8 years, and they renamed their self-driving car program Waymo. So you and I haven't heard of it, but hey, you know, it's been around for 8 years because it's Google. And they are now ready to put this into beta test and actually have self-driving cars come pick you up at your house and take you where you need to go. Take the kids to soccer practice, take you to work, but it's not really you because it's not for Chicago. It's just for Phoenix, Arizona.
But in Arizona, this is happening right now, today, people are doing this?
Well, yes, and they're opening it up to more people, hundreds of people. There's an application online where you can say, you know, these are like Chrysler minivans. So the idea, I think, is that you'll be given preference if you're not, if you have a family, you know, because they really want to see the true experience. And you're not going to be alone in the car. There's still a human behind the wheel to take over if something happens. But they say it's more like just to kind of talk to people, get a sense of how they like it. At least initially, there'll be people in the car still. So it's not completely, you know, robotic.
So, Bridget, be honest. Let's say you were a part of this system, this Waymo system in Arizona, and you order a car and it comes by. And like you said, now there is a driver just in case. But at some point, that won't be it. It'll just be a driverless car. Are you okay with that today? Would that, if that happened to you today, would you be all right with that?
Because I live in New York, and that'd be crazy. Driving here is insane. But I think if I was by myself, there would be a little bit of a freaky moment. I think I still would want to be traveling with my husband or with a friend. I don't think I would feel comfortable just being quietly alone in a car as it drives itself. Yeah. I'm getting used to that, right?
That would be weird. It's one thing if it was on a track, like at an amusement park, you know what
sure.
I mean? And then it wouldn't veer off, but I mean...
I'd be nervous the whole time.
Knowing my luck, the thing would just completely break down, flip over, and explode.
Yeah.
And you know, this has been tested for 8 years.
Right.
But you and
not
I,
long enough.
You know, we're not, yeah, we're not seeing it in action. And that's why these are like baby steps. And in Arizona, the law says you don't have to have someone behind the wheel. They're just doing that right now, I think, for that comfort feeling.
So who's responsible in the case of an accident?
Well,
Google?
Good question, right? But I have some good insurance. Yeah, it would be Google. Well, Google's parent company, Alphabet, like anyone ever calls it that. But
they'll be in way more trouble than they think.
Did you hear what Wendy did? That was excellent. All right, so that's going on in Arizona. Now, does this mean, Bridget, because they talked about when there's driverless cars that they need to put sensors in the road, everywhere in the road. Does that mean that that's already happened in Arizona, or are they using some other technology other than sensors?
No, it's the cars themselves that have the sensors right now. I mean, ideally, it would be a great backup program to have more sensors in the road and to have things kind of communicate to, like, know, all right, this car is here and this car is there. And, you know, almost as another set of eyes for the cars to kind of check and ping each other to know something is in the way here, something's not in the way there. Right now, though, it's all in the car.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay, so they have 100 of these, I should say, though, right now in their fleet, and they're going to add 500 more. So that gives you a sense of how many self-driving cars are going to be zipping around the roads.
This will teach you not to honk at anyone, because sometime there won't be anybody driving, so you'll be wasting your time.
Right.
Won't that be weird?
Yes, it would be. Oh.
All right, iPhone news. I love my iPhone. I'm not one of those Apple people per se, but I do have a MacBook Pro, which I love. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. But when will it all stop?
Never stop. Okay, so this year is their 10th anniversary, and you know, you hear all these reports that Apple's going to pull out all the stops and have a whole different kind of phone, and it's going to be totally different. And well, it actually looks like maybe Apple's new iPhone won't be as fast as what Samsung made with the Galaxy S8. So here's the short version of a long explanation. It has to do with the chip that connects to your wireless service, your LTE, your 4G. Right now, Samsung has a deal with Qualcomm. They make the fastest one out there. That can, I should say, take advantage of a new type of 4G that's rolling out. It's called Giga LTE, whatever. No one's going to call it that. But, you know, the point is that, you know, wireless carriers, you know, they're getting better towers. The reception is going to get stronger and faster. And you need a chip to be able to take advantage of that. So Samsung's phone's got it. The S8 has it. Apple, though, is having a bit of a beef right now with Qualcomm. And they're having some phones that have Qualcomm chips and some phones that have Intel chips. It's long. There's a lawsuit involved. Needless to say, they're not going to have likely this top-of-the-line thing with Qualcomm, because if some phones have the Qualcomm and some phones have the Intel, well, Intel can't match that. So their phones aren't going to be able to take advantage of the fastest 4G that's possible. Now, you and I aren't going to notice that right away, but you keep your phone for 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, then it's going to start to matter, because that's in 2 or 3 years, that's when we're really going to start to take advantage of these faster speeds. I don't think hearing that my 4G is going to be a little less fast is going to stop anyone from getting an iPhone when you're already invested, especially folks with Macs and already have iPads in the house and you have a million apps already downloaded. It's not going to stop people from switching, you know, or get people to switch, I should say. But it just goes to show you that Apple still is always behind a little bit. Even on their 10th anniversary phone, it might not be the top of the line.
But I thought Apple was the be-all to technology. I mean, everybody rants and raves about it. I think it's embarrassing that the Galaxy has bypassed it.
Well, think about it, actually. They're not always the end-all, be-all, best, because they kind of always wait a little bit before they do something. They were not the first to have the fastest speeds. They were not the first to even have copy and paste on their phone back in the day. But they don't have wireless charging, and there's been wireless charging for phones for a while. They don't have, like, their new one just has waterproof, and waterproof phones have been out for a while. So they're never first here, but everyone loves the operating system, and that's kind of where they shine.
That's the EOS, Bill.
The EOS system. All right.
All right. We have all, Bill and I have laughed about this. You would see an old-time phone receiver with a cord that people could plug into their iPhone and talk, and it's funny because the kids thought it was a novel thing.
Right.
That's how we used to use a telephone.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you can do something like that with a retro typewriter.
They have this as an option, actually. If you like old typewriter keys and you like that feel of the clunk, 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 you could buy mechanical keyboards that connect wirelessly to your computer to replace your normal keyboard. But there's a new one we have on CNET that we reviewed. It's called the Low Free. I don't know. It's a weird name, whatever. But it's adorable. It makes clicky sounds, and it says black keys. Now, the reviewer says she had a little bit of a hard time getting used to it and got kind of frustrated because she's so used to normal keyboards. You know, that said, you know, if you like to be artsy in your workplace and want to have something neat, it's like $100, and you can get it on Kickstarter. Oh. Got a little bit of that Mad Men 60s charm. You know?
Yes, and definitely doable in the price.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for all the updates. It's a Tech Tuesday here on WGN. Bridget Carey, you can find her at CNET.com. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Bridget. We'll take a quick break. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill Leffen, it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.